Hi, I'm Elisa Lamel, Legal Content Specialist at Crouse Financial Services. Joining me today is Brenna Galvin, Elder Law Attorney and Managing Shareholder at Mazur, Amundson, and Boggio in Richfield, Minnesota. Brenna's practice focuses on estate planning, life care planning, asset protection, veterans benefit, Medicaid assistance, special needs planning, and estate and trust administration. In addition to her role as an elder law attorney, Brenna has completed training through the International End of Life Doula Association to become an end of life doula. In this interview, Brenna will be sharing why she became inspired to seek out this additional training and how the role of a death doula can help families and their loved ones through the grieving process. She'll also be sharing what other elder law attorneys can do to help clients better prepare a meaningful end of life plan. Hi, Brenna. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's really great to be with you.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about a unique topic. So in addition to your role as an elder law attorney, you are also a death doula. So before we get into why you wanted to become a death doula, can you start off by telling me what it is and what are some of the duties of a death doula?
Sure. Yeah, it's a newer role. It's something that I think is starting to get some media attention in this space, but the role of a death doula is similar in structure to that of a birthing doula. It's just on the back end of your life instead of the front part. So, specifically, kind of a doula is the Greek word for servant. And the idea is that a death doula is a non-medical professional who's trained. And they're educated on what happens with the body and the mind as we die. And we try to structure plans for our clients and patients about really what they want at the end of their life, if they have some say over things regarding the environment or the people that they're with or the things that are important to them. And we do some planning for the death and dying process. We're also there with the individual as they're dying and their families. And then we help post-death with some of the really kind of reflecting on the loss and what's happened, and also making sure families have the right resources for how they can start getting tools to help them with their grieving process.
Okay, so listening to those duties, I imagine a lot of people are not jumping in line to take up this role. So why did you feel this was so important to be able to provide this service to your client?
Yeah. So I noticed something in my elder law practice that really started bothering me. It felt like I was talking and making these really close relationships with clients in their estate planning process, where we would talk with them about their advanced care planning or financial powers of attorney and kind of post-death where their money should go when they die. And we'd build that relationship, and our practice also has a care coordinator and a full-time social worker on staff. So we also were very involved in helping them select care providers, making sure that they had advocates throughout their long-term care journey if they needed those services. And we helped with post-death administration. But it felt like in those final days of my clients' lives, I would field a lot of phone calls from family members and occasionally from the client that they said things like, "It's happening, you know, mom or dad is dying, or my spouse is starting to fade fast. We don't know what to do, how to help them. Do they have everything in order?" There was just so much anxiety in their voices when they would call my office. And a lot of the times, the best tool or the best thing I could tell them was, "Hey, your loved one's done a great job with planning. They have the legal documents in place. Now's the time to just spend time together and try to be there for each other, and then call me after it happens, because that's where I could again step in and help with kind of the legal order of how do we administer the estate. But it felt like there was a gap from like when we did the planning to post-death administration, where families were really looking for resources and coming up short. And I guess that this was solidified for me when my dad got sick as well, where I knew the process of how we plan for critical diagnoses and how we handle an estate administration or go through the paperwork post-death. But a lot of the times in the death and dying process, families spend a lot of time alone with their loved one, or and without a lot of resources. So I wanted to kind of address that gap in services. And I listened to a podcast where a death doula was getting interviewed, and I was like, that's it. That's the solution. There's some role and training that we could get to help address and provide support to families during this really important time in their lives.
So what does it mean to create a meaningful end-of-life plan? And how does that differ from estate planning?
Right. So I would tell my clients, you know, in my elder law practice that, you know, I want everyone to have their essential estate planning documents in place. Those are critically important. We need those to kind of navigate the process legally and to ensure that there's as few hurdles or issues along the way. So we want our clients, of course, to have their advance directive, their powers of attorney, their wills or trusts in place. But I noticed, and I kind of polled other elder law attorneys at conferences and in sidebars, I'd start talking to them about how much time are you spending on advanced care planning and what sort of issues are you getting into in those conversations. And most attorneys felt like maybe 5 to 10 minutes in a design meeting where they would sit down with their client to design the plan. They'd ask a few questions about who their agent was and, you know, the type of care the client would or wouldn't want under very limited circumstances, usually some sort of clause that says, if I'm terminally ill and can't communicate for myself, here's what I would want or not want. And then a little bit of information on post-death, what would happen to the physical body. But I would say an end-of-life plan or the planning process as a death doula is a lot broader in scope than the one that we cover in advanced care planning with our clients as elder law attorneys. So the types of things that we talk about in planning for clients in that space is really thinking through how they can start looking at what their life meaning is and the legacy that they want to leave. That could be a financial legacy that they want to leave for their loved ones. It could also be values that were important to them and they want to share. It could be information about where they ideally want to die, the type of care that they would run, the type of care setting they would have. We'd put together maybe a more concrete care plan for that, meaning some clients might have an idea that they want to die at home, but we haven't functionally thought about how to make that happen and who is going to support them through that process. And the lift, you know, of family members versus professionals in that setting. And so we go through that vigil plan about when the death is occurring, how do we make you as comfortable as possible wherever you you choose to call home at that time in your life. And then we also talk through in this legacy work, as I was mentioning, a little bit about if there are things that they feel like their life has made an impact on the world that they want to share or solidify, or gifts that they want to leave for their family members. And what I mean by that is not necessarily a tangible gift, but something more along the lines of, you may have a reading teacher, for example, talk about the most meaningful books that they've shared with students or in their that they've read in their lives. We might think about those things that really brought them joy and comfort over the years and put that package, that information together so they can see it and cherish it, and their loved ones will have it after they're gone.
Okay, so it sounds like a very overall life planning instead of more transactional base that the death doula is able to help out with. So why do you think, well, you touched on a lot of reasons already, but why do you think it's so important for other elder law attorneys who don't have this training to really talk with their clients about the overall death and dying process instead of just doing the estate planning and administration after?
Yeah, I think there's a fundamental shift that's happening with our clients right now, at least something that I'm observing and I'm seeing in the financial industry as well, where clients are really coming in. The reason that they're not using like online LegalZoom or, you know, online documents is because they're looking for someone to be a guide through a process and to take their experience and information to help them make this easier. They want relationships over those transactions that you were talking about. And they want to know that as much as possible where they're coming can usher them through what they're about to experience. And for most families going through death, this might be the first time that they've experienced it, or that they've had a loved one going through this diagnosis and change. And they're asked to do a lot during that time. They're asked to be physical caregivers. They're asked to start guessing or making decisions based on what they think their loved one would want. They are being asked a lot in a time that's really stressful and difficult, because they're trying to support their loved one as they die, and they're also trying to deal with that in their own relationships as well. And so I think our clients are looking to us to help make all of those things easier. And if we continue to kind of talk around death, but not actually talk about it or sit with it, I feel like we're skipping something that is going to be such a fundamental shift in their lives. So I guess that the other thing that kind of practically happens is that statistics show that the Medicare hospice benefit that's been so wonderful to help so many people support them through their death and dying process really provides an average of about 30 minutes a day of care to the individual that's dying. And so that could be provided daily, right? They could call and speak to someone on the phone, or it may be twice a week for a couple of hours at a time. A hospice care worker comes into the home. The rest of the time, that family is often alone with their loved one who's dying, and that individual who's dying is going through significant changes in their body and in their minds, and they need some support and education and resources along the way. And if we just assume that someone else is going to do it, then I think we would be wrong. to make that assumption. Most people are alone and looking for more help and resource. And while we all might not be able to physically be there for our clients in the moment as they die, there are things that we can know and resources we can provide to them to help make that process a little easier on them and their families.
So I think that's a great point. So other attorneys, other elder law attorneys who don't have this knowledge behind, you know, helping a client through the death and dying process, how could they start to engage in this conversation with their clients so it comes up naturally? It's a tough conversation to have. What kind of questions could they start with?
You know, I always think that everyone kind of has their own style with their clients. And you're right, kind of what you're able to talk about when it comes to this will be really based on your personal comfort level with addressing death and dying. And so one of the tools or one of the things that they make you do through this training as a death doula is to go through a lot of these exercises in the planning process yourself and to kind of do this and think about it from your own lens or a loved one that you cherish, you know, going through the death and dying process to think through how this would impact you. Now, not everyone's going to run out and sign up for death doula training. I know that. But I think it would be wise as attorneys to think through, do I know the resources in my community for who supports individuals as they're dying? Have I gotten to know or network with hospice care providers? And understand what tools they can offer to clients. Have I met death doulas in my community to see if they could be a resource to further help families? I think that meeting those people and having those referrals ready are really important. The other thing I would suggest is that when you're talking or wanting to broach these conversations with clients, I like to ask my clients about what's worrying them and figuring out, you know, what's keeping them up at night a little bit with this planning process. I think if we know what our clients are worried about and what their concerns are, or who they're worried about, you know, when we think about planning, it really helps us be more, work better as a team and be better planners because we can address the things that matter most to our clients. And so when we're meeting or talking with clients about planning, understanding the why that brings them into your office and, or the who that does really, I think, will help make these conversations a little bit more natural. And I also would recommend, you know, there's plenty of readings that and resources, books out there for people. I would start getting familiar with those topics. Do a little reading just like you would do on changes to the Secure Act, you know, in IRAs. Think through what's happening, learn about what's happening to our bodies as we die and what issues emotionally and psychologically come up for clients throughout that process that will really make you a more reflective planner.
Perfect. Well, I think that those are some really great resources that a lot of our viewers can start with. But if anybody dives into this deeper and they have some additional questions for you, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, they can reach me at my practice, Mazur, Amundsen, and Bogio, by email at bgelvin@mazurlaw.com or by phone at my office at 952-925-4147.
Excellent. Well, we're going to be sure to link your contact information at the end of our interview as well for viewers to access. Thank you so much, Brenna, for joining us today and for and sharing this very important information.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.